As we stand, let us pray. O Lord, open our eyes that we may see the glory of the King. I pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts and responses of all our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may like to turn to the New Testament, to page 956, 957, the reading that we had not long ago. Verse 7 from Mark chapter 9, a voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love, listen to him." Our Lord Jesus taught and healed on many occasions. But here we have an event which, as far as we know, happened visibly only once, unique and unrepeated, the transfiguration of Christ. It was about a week or so after the disciples, and especially Peter, recognized Jesus as Messiah, God's Son, or at least that recognition was beginning. And Jesus began to teach them that his earthly ministry was coming to a climax, both appalling and glorious. He was to be killed at Jerusalem and to rise again. Peter reacted with horror, saying that these things could never happen to him. And the response of Jesus was, "Get me behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." These were, in a momentous ministry, momentous days. Perhaps the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were expecting a night of prayer, or perhaps a night when Jesus would pray and they would drift off to sleep. Luke tells us that they went up a mountain to pray. But what they experienced was something of glory, something of heaven and of eternity. The three gospel writers, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, use only a few words to describe the change, the transfiguration, which they saw in Jesus' appearance. Our passage from Mark chapter 9, verse 3, "His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them." Matthew 17, verse 2, "His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." And Luke 9, verse 29, "The appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning." Jesus shone with heavenly brilliance, with the glory of God, with the glory of eternity. Perplexed and frightened, they certainly were at the time. And the nonsense that came from Peter's mouth bears witness to their perplexity and fear. But as they thought later on the experience which their physical eyes had seen, their eyes of faith were opened, and ours might be opened too, to just who this man Jesus was. Peter's second letter in chapter 1, "We did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." John does not record the transfiguration, but in chapter 1 of his gospel he says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And throughout chapter 1 of his gospel, John speaks of Jesus Christ as the light that was life, the light that shines in the darkness, the light that darkness has not overcome, the light giving light to everyone. John also records in chapter 17 a great prayer of Jesus to his Father. It's sometimes referred to as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. From John chapter 17, the words of Jesus, "Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 1, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory." And the transfigured Jesus, shining with heavenly brilliance, is joined by two heavenly companions, Moses and Elijah, who talked with Jesus. Moses and Elijah were many centuries gone from this earth, and there they appeared. Why these two great men from the Old Testament? Why these two in particular? Perhaps Moses to represent the law, and Elijah to represent the prophets. Jesus said that he was come to fulfill the law and the prophets. And Luke tells us what the subject of their conversation was as Moses and Elijah and Jesus talked together. Luke says they spoke about his departure, which he was to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Their conversation was about the sufferings and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the very things he had just begun to teach his disciples about, of which they as yet had so little grasp. Their conversation was about the terrible and great events which were to bring about the redemption of the world, the great events upon which your salvation and my salvation depend. And could there be a more vivid illustration of the teaching of Jesus about the resurrection? You may remember that he was challenged by the Sadducees, a religious group who said there was no resurrection. He was challenged with their supposedly humorous story about the woman married to seven brothers in succession. Whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And the reply of Jesus, "Have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living." Jesus, shining with heavenly brilliance, joined by heavenly companions, and then a heavenly voice, the Father's voice. "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." And Mark tells us in verse 8, "Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus." Listen to him. Listen to my Son. Jesus Christ is to be the focus and center of the faith and life of his people. Listen to him. Listen to him as he calls us, follow me. Listen to him as he teaches us about the greatest of the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Listen to him as he calls us to be rich not in earthly things, but to be rich towards God. Listen to him as he shows us and teaches us the way of prayer, the Lord's Prayer, in its brevity so rich and so deep. Listen to him as he takes a road of suffering and pain, leading to a cross on which he cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And as he calls us to follow him on the same road, taking up our cross and denying ourselves. For that road is the road that leads to eternal life, to living hope, to resurrection. So may you and I see with the eye of faith the heavenly brilliance of Jesus Christ, the radiance of God's glory. May we grasp with the minds and hearts of faith the heavenly hope which his death and resurrection for us and for our sins brings to us. And may we hear with the ear of faith God's voice as he commands us, listen to him. Amen.